warning, warning, it's truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Bob is out on a mission today, and sitting in for him is Leslie Hanks, sitting across from me, and I'm Joe Scott, and it's great to be with you today. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
Great.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, something so amazing, such a fabulous answer to prayer. It's hard to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we had a kind of a false alarm about 2-3 weeks back. This wonderful woman, Miriam Ibrahim, who is such a courageous example to the world and to Christians everywhere, that she refused to recant. She's a Christian, and she's was in prison in Sudan and pregnant. She's about 27 years old. She had a little toddler and delivered a baby in shackles in the prison in Sudan
shackles.
Recently. But we had this false alarm a couple of weeks back. I know one of my granddaughters was fasting for her, and I was so proud of her. And then we heard that she'd been freed, and so I let my granddaughter know, and she was so excited. And then it turned out to be not a true story. But today,
just about 3 hours ago, she was freed.
Yeah, I think around noon.
She was freed, and she was in court on Thursday before the Islamic judge, and he was calling her by the name they said was her given name.
Correct. I think we have to remember that her father was a Muslim, and her father abandoned the family, but she was raised by her Christian mom. She's actually Ethiopian. And but the way the Sharia law works is if you have a father that has been a Muslim, even if he doesn't have anything to do with you, you are considered Muslim. And so I think it was her brother that turned her in for being Christian. And then she was pressured to recant, and she refused to. And so she was sentenced to death
and 100 lashes. I can't even imagine. And now she's facing this on Thursday when she goes to court.
Right.
And the judge calls her by Afdal, a Muslim name. And she wouldn't answer him. What a woman.
Yeah.
What a woman.
The courage is just really
unbelievable. She said she was raised Christian. She's always been Christian, and her name was Miriam, and she would not answer the judge, which to me would be terrifying, because it doesn't take much for them to just say, that's it, you've gone over the line, you'll be stoned today. And she did it anyway, and God blessed her, and she's out. I know she's not with her family at this point.
That's right. In fact, they're still asking for prayer, because they feel like until she's out of the country, her life is in danger. And actually, they want prayer for the attorneys as well, because I believe they're Muslim, the attorneys, and the fact that they represented a Christian, that puts them in jeopardy. So,
and her husband. So everyone connected with her is in some kind of jeopardy right now. So we're just praying that she makes it here or someplace safe soon.
Absolutely. And with her baby, her little girl, Maya. The baby's only, about 3 weeks old? Mm-hmm. And then she has a little toddler named Martin.
Yes.
And he was with her in prison. So she has really undergone for 6 months something that very few American women could even imagine.
Can't relate to, but what a shining example of
Absolutely.
Faith and courage. And I'm sure she had the peace of Christ with her while she was in that prison. And she was unmovable. Thank you, Miriam.
Absolutely. Yeah,
someday we get to meet her.
That's right. Yeah, and it's been so inspiring that there have been a number of people we've been praying for. I have been, and I know you've probably had the same people on your list. Justina, that Personhood USA has been trying to work to reunite her with her family.
She's responding.
No, not Jahai.
Justina. Justina's home.
Justina's home. Yeah, so that's an answer to prayer.
Yes.
And Personhood USA did yeoman work on trying to get people to call and raise awareness about her plight. I mean, she was 15 to 18 months apart from her family because of a medical dispute, and she got stuck in the family services, child and family services.
And started to go down
system.
For a little while. She wasn't doing too well,
That's
but
right.
she's doing better.
Hopefully
and now she's
she'll
home.
Get the medical care that she really needs.
Yes.
I know the one I think it was Tufts University, felt like they had her situation assessed properly and they wanted her to take a particular course of action. And then this other system, they took her to Massachusetts and determined that they thought she was having, her parents were kind of encouraging her to have this condition because of some kind of mental situation. So anyway, with lots of prayer and lots of phone calls, Justine has been freed. And then Jahai, we've been praying for.
And she's, Jahai is responding.
Right.
Yes.
The little girl that was declared to be a corpse by the Oakland Children's Hospital out in California. And that's been about 3 months ago, I guess, or more. And her devoted mother, Nyla, has taken her, I guess it's back to New Jersey, where they may be the only state in the country that says that a family can dispute a brain injury diagnosis or a brain death diagnosis. So that seems like that was the right place to take her. But she's been getting treatment for all the trauma that she underwent, and her mother's just been totally devoted, quit her job, and she does her nails every Friday and just is assuming that her daughter can recover from this terrible trauma. But the hospital system was completely willing to write her off.
It's easy to do.
And declare her to be dead.
Right. And nobody is dead whose body is functioning.
And her body has been responding and even responding to when her mother asks her to lift a finger or a hand or whatever, she is responding. So there's a praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So Miriam and Justina and Jahai, and now we have to keep praying for Saeed, who is our friend Nagme's husband. She's been on with Bob twice.
Yes.
God bless Bob for letting her share her story. And her husband, Saeed's been in prison in Iran for 2 years now, and he's another an American citizen who has refused to recant Jesus Christ, and they have beat him.
Repeatedly,
and he was taken to a hospital briefly, like for a couple of weeks, and recovered from some of those injuries, but then they've recently taken him back to one of
the prisons
in Iran, so If you are a praying person, we certainly seek your prayers to help us continue to do everything we can with social media. And if you're on Facebook, share Saeed Abedini's story. He's been away from his two little precious children, Rebecca and Jacob, for this time. And you can just imagine how heartbroken they are. And now Nagme has been a real amazing woman of God.
She's been a rock.
She's gone before the United Nations and been a tremendous witness for Jesus. So I'm so inspired and seeing all these answers to prayers. I just pray that Saeed's next, that he will be reconciled or reunited with his family. And
yes, and no longer beaten. I mean,
absolutely.
God has blessed that man with a strength that we don't know, just like he did with Miriam and this country. But these are real heroes of the faith.
Absolutely.
These are people that we in the United States need to look to, because it seems like our church, the church, not our Denver Bible Church, but the church in the United States, turns a blind eye to all kinds of atrocities that go on here. And it's sad.
That's so sad.
Speaking of that, yesterday was the Gay Pride Parade in Denver, and six of us went to face about 100,000 of them.
You guys are speaking of courage.
Well,
you're amazing.
I'll tell you, this year it was more difficult for us to go than any other year. It was a major spiritual battle for all of us. Not that we were sharing it with all of us, but when we got there, we just said we just didn't want to go this year. But I think the reason is we had so many good conversations with people caught in that lifestyle. So much time to witness to them and embrace them as they cried and tell them about Jesus. It was an amazing, amazing day. When we got there, I said, Ken, I'm not doing this again.
I know. I remember you saying you really were struggling this year with going, but admiration of you folks.
Thanks.
Caring enough about people that are struggling in that lifestyle to tell them the truth so that there is an escape mechanism for them.
And not only that, there are so few mile markers for Jesus in our culture anymore. And when you talk to teenagers, they don't know that homosexuality is frowned on by anybody except a hater.
That's true.
And they don't have anyone to relate to that loves them. because mm-hmm. they've been told, you know, there are those that are rotten to them, you know, and that's what they look at us as. So yesterday was a fabulous time for us to be able to talk to them. My sign, we have to put them on big, tall poles because...
To be seen over the
Well, every
crowd.
Year there's somebody there that's trying to cover them. So they're high enough now where you can't cover them. And my sign said, come to Jesus for peace and salvation. And I did something a little different yesterday. I watched the crowd. And there are those mockers and scoffers and those... There are people that really hate the name of Jesus and they're horrible. But then there's others that read that sign and their eyes go right to the ground. And immediately I would begin to pray for them. And some of them actually came over and talked to me. And one lady would talk to me for a little while and tell me how she felt and cry and fall in my arms. And I'd be able to talk to her more about Jesus. And so I made an appointment to meet her next year. So I guess I'm going next year. And there was a young man there, Alex. He came up to me and he said, you just hate us. And he was angry with me. And I said, I'm not your enemy. I want you to come to heaven with me. That's why I'm here. Read the sign. Mm-hmm. I want you to know Jesus the way that I do. And he said, well, I'm a seminary student at DU. And it, you know, just hurts your heart when you hear things like that because he's being taught lies. And there was another woman who was a deacon in the United Methodist Church. And she was just all over me, telling me that the Bible says nothing specific about homosexuality. So we told her about Romans 1, 18 through 32, which is very specific about homosexuality not only being sin, but being worthy of death. And when she heard that, she was just taken aback. She said, well, obviously, because she didn't know about Romans 1. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, obviously, you just focus on that, and that's all you know. And I said, if you're a deacon and you're teaching people that homosexuality is right, maybe you should know what God says about it. You
Good
know?
Point. And Absolutely.
So she listened to the whole scripture, but then she was done. She was done. She didn't want it. But John Wiecheck, he goes to our church. He read it to her. And I was so proud to be with the men that were with us. They witnessed to those people with love. They quoted scripture. They took all the abuse that they were given. Ken, at one point, somebody had one of those super soaker guns.
Oh, right.
And they just soaked him right in the face, you know. Just really, really got him good. And then there was somebody that was mocking Ken right next to him. And apparently the guy with the super soaker didn't realize the guy was mocking Ken and did it to him.
Oh, no.
And a war ensued and they were both gone. So,
well, so would you say at the whole parade where your five or so of you that went, were
Six
you the
us.
Only opposition to...
As far as we could tell, I mean, this is a couple mile long route
right.
and we didn't see anyone else, but it was very sad. I mean, these people dress up in the most vulgar costumes they can.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, Wells Fargo's bank had a really nice looking stagecoach. It was filled with children. And out on the outside, there were vulgar men dancing around and throwing condoms. And, you know, what
that is
makes you worry
so
about
inappropriate
those children.
For the kids. And I even think I sent an email yesterday to Nine News. They did a fair amount of promotion of the event. You know, a soft promotion. It wasn't, you know, like they were advertising it, but they kept mentioning it was the day of the parade. And I'm like, why would you be promoting something that really you could never show film footage of unless you just picked, you know, one particular clean 20 seconds or something when, you know, most of it is not suitable for family fare?
It's not. Hickenlooper was in the parade, you know, garnishing votes and stuff like that. And so was Udall, Diana DeGette. You know, they were marching down, but they come like when there's less of that kind of thing going on. And then after they go by, then the normal parade continues. It's just, and the police department, they were in it. The sheriff's department was in it. The fire department was in it.
Participants.
Wow. Not only just in cars, they were walking along the streets and handing out gifts. I don't know, you know, the things that they throw at people during the parade. And it was so sad. It's like, how are we ever going to get out of this? One police car, all lesbians driving it, in it and driving it. And you think, how?
And they were officers.
They were officers. Yeah, they were police personnel in the car. And the sheriff personnel and the fire department personnel. It's just, how do we win if we don't pray? If we don't get out there in our communities and show people that Jesus does not approve of this, that it can't go anywhere but down when God condemns it, and so many churches.
Well, that's
in it.
That was the topic at Denver Bible Church yesterday, as
it
a matter
was.
Of fact. Yeah, that 2014 may be the year that the church as a whole goes gay.
It's frightening. It's frightening. I've seen so many things happen.
Well, you said how many churches were there yesterday in the parade?
I don't know. A lot. I didn't count them. But there were the Lutheran Church, the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Unitarian Church is always there. Lots of churches were involved in it, and it's so accepted. We are looked at as such freaks because we won't accept it. And it's because of all the media and all the fanfare around it, it's hate if you don't accept it. But we're not the hateful ones, you know. There were plenty of them that came and threatened and challenged, and then there were others that would come up to me and say, please, we're not all that way.
Truth is hate for those who hate the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Were there officers that were willing to protect you if things got out of control?
Yes. Yeah, we usually go in front of the cathedral on Colfax, because there's always police on duty there.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we place ourselves where they can see us. And I think that there were less onlookers yesterday. There was a huge parade, but there were less people in the streets. Normally I can't even move, and yesterday there was a lot more room on the streets, so there were less people watching. I don't know if that was because there was a forecast of rain or, but it was... I think it was a really blessed day because we did get to witness to a lot of the people there. So, and we won the battle, the spiritual battle, to get out there and to do what we're supposed
with.
To do.
Yeah. Well, next year, Lord willing, there will be more of us willing to come along and stand beside you. And I mean, the churches really need to be going in the opposite direction of what it sure feels like they're
Who's
doing.
Who's going to tell them the truth?
That's right.
The government's not going to tell them the truth. We have to. This is one of the biggest recruitment days for kids, because they have all the parties and all that kind of stuff going on, and it's a lot of fun, and everybody's dressed up and acting weird, and kids are attracted to it. Lost kids,
you know,
especially.
How many years it's been going on in Denver?
No. Uh-uh.
I don't either. I don't remember. It seems like 15 or 20 that... You know, I don't think we always had gay pride parades.
It's been more than 15, because I've been here. This will be my 18th year. So, and we've been going ever since I came to Denver. So it's been a while, and they've always been big since I've come. So that was our day yesterday. We wanted to talk about Cory Gardner, didn't we? About his stand.
Was he at the parade?
Not that I saw.
He's trying to keep up with Mr. Udall's positions on everything, so I wondered whether he would join into that scenario yesterday. But yeah, he came out this week with an article in the Denver Post about how he thinks that the pill should be made available to women without a doctor's prescription. And having just gone through what we did at the Planned Parenthood, when we had the action day recently from the American Life League, runs a website called The Pill Kills, and they had handouts that we were giving out to women, because a lot of times when women come to the Planned Parenthood in Stapleton, they'll tell us, oh, I'm not here for an abortion, I'm just here for birth control. So we were grateful to be able to have this nice handout to give them. And it's so shocking, Joe, as you and I've talked about many, many times, how dangerous oral contraception really is to women. You and I have both had the opportunity to speak with a breast surgeon named Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, and she calls the pill a Molotov cocktail for breast cancer.
And that's what it is.
And so how insane for Cory Gardner to think women should be exposed to what the World Health Organization has classified as a class one carcinogen.
Right. Well, a lot of the people that I've talked to, pro-lifers included, have said that Mr. Gardner doesn't understand. He doesn't know. Then don't promote it. If you're going to go out there and you're going to promote something, you should know the facts about it before you put women's lives in danger.
Absolutely. I called there last week and said this is kind of a tone-deaf thing to be putting out. If you ask me, that, you know, most women aren't informed about the dangers, but if you are, you have to say to yourself, why in the world would he want to subject women to these kinds of toxic chemicals? And not only breast cancer, but some of these newer pills that we hear about, Yaz and Yasmin, there's 13,000 injury lawsuits that have been filed. And I was reading just as we were preparing, 23 Canadian women who have died from some of these newer generation oral contraceptives, and they seriously increase the risk of stroke. In fact, there's one story right here.
Deep vein thrombosis,
exactly.
Heart attack. Well, most women don't understand that the pill is putting hormones into your body.
Correct.
And those hormones are the same type of hormones that men take to increase their muscle mass.
Steroids.
It can kill them. It gives them brain
tumors.
Tumors and testicular cancer and all kinds of things are happening to the men. And so they are not allowed to use them.
That's right.
But they're giving them to little girls every day in higher doses in the birth control
mm-hmm.
pill.
Here's a story. It says 10 days after she began using the Nuva Ring, Olympic-bound athlete Megan Henry's athletic career ended because of blood clots caused by this form of birth control. That's an article out of Vanity Fair. So I just think it was bad enough that Cory Gardner disavowed personhood. He used to be a personhood supporter or proponent. And so he's throwing the babies under the bus, and now what is he doing, throwing the women under the bus, too? And
a political career.
It's a cheap political ploy. I mean, it's not like there's not so many pressing problems in this country that the Senate campaign should be debating.
Mm-hmm.
We've sunk so low that now it's about birth control pills. That's really the most important thing that we have going on.
Well, I think that's because Planned Parenthood is so powerful. And their lobbies are so powerful, their donations are so powerful. They've been making money off of killing babies since 1967 in this country. And so have the politicians, because they throw those babies right under the bus with Planned Parenthood, maybe not for the same reason, but for a political career. That has to stop.
What was the most recent thing about Cecile Richards, the executive director or the CEO? She's making, what, $500,000 a year?
Mm-hmm. And her husband is making even more than that as the...
He's the head of the SIEU, and apparently he does all the telemarketing. I mean, mm-hmm. he's the CEO, I guess, and so his agency is doing all the telemarketing. So it's a little bit nepotistic, if that's a word.
Incestuous. right, and the politicians feel like, oh, if I don't say the right thing, when really, if they would just tell the truth and stand on the truth and do the right thing, we could see this country turn around, because God would bless it. But he's not going to bless all these people who won't take a stand on the life of an innocent child, and now the lives of the women. We put women in so much danger every day by not telling the truth, and the media won't cover it.
Well, they'll cover the war on women, their little slogan.
But that's only us denying abortion. You know, they'll say, oh, we can't get health care. Well, that's not health care. It's never been healthy to have an arm or a leg ripped off. It's never been healthy to take steroids to the point that you get tumors and all the complications that come with that. That's not health care. That is a lie.
Absolute lie. Well, I understand we're down to about the last 5 minutes, so maybe we need to talk about July 4th.
July 4th in Greeley.
That's
There's
right.
There's a parade, and we're asking everybody that can make it at all to this parade to show up at 8 a.m. at the Staging Center.
This is for a voice
Greeley.
For Brady. This is the Brady Amendment. We're on the ballot.
Right.
So, yeah, go to avoiceforbrady.com, and you can get all the information you need if you'd be inclined to wear a T-shirt and get the word out. We have all kinds of wonderful postcards, information cards that'll be given out. And boy, when people, we did this parade in for the Veterans Day parade this year, and yes. and there were a lot of us that were just handing them out, and the people, they really were reading them. It was real encouraging, and we got very, very little opposition. This go-round with the Personhood Amendment, it's so compelling, you
and
know.
And it's very encouraging to see the response of the people. And it's a parade, folks, that you can go to, and you don't have to worry about anything vulgar. You're going to meet great people.
That's right. It'll be a patriotic day. And
yes.
You know, Heather's story is so compelling. She lost her baby to a drunk driver a week before delivery, and, you know, the prosecutor couldn't do anything with the drunk driver for Brady's death. And that makes sense to people. People say he was a person. He was an 8-pound baby.
He was an 8-pound baby who was loved by his family. And as far as the law goes here in Colorado, he doesn't count.
That's right.
He didn't even exist.
And that's wrong. So if you want to help us get the word out, Amendment 67, boy, we've done a lot of work to get it on the ballot, but now it's there, and we're just hopeful people will come alongside and get these cards to their churches.
Yeah, even if you don't want to be in the parade, go to the parade, get some cards, take them back to your community, your circle of friends, and make sure that they know how to vote on the Brady Amendment, because it's so important that we win the rights for the unborn in this state. It's going to be an uphill battle. It has been an uphill battle, but this year has been very encouraging.
That's right.
So we have been out at the abortion clinic every day, Leslie and I, and we've had
front lines.
Yeah, we've had some real encouraging days. We've had 3 babies saved in 1 week recently.
Right, yep.
That was really encouraging. And we also put out a notice that we had no more baby blankets.
And boy, did we get blessed.
Wow. We've got
awesome
baby blankets now, and they're all handmade. They're beautiful. And we can't wait to get rid of them all. Hand them out to the moms. And see, we just had a young mom from Ethiopia. She came on a Saturday and went to the ultrasound van that
has come
alongside us and working with us, and kept her baby. She didn't think that there was going to be any help, found out there was help, and that was so encouraging to see. And for the ultrasound people, too. So.
Oh, yes. They're just wonderful.
Yeah, they are.
And it's such a nicely equipped van that you can have your loved one come in, and there's several TV screens, and the people are so professional. So that's ICU,
mm-hmm,
Image Clear Ultrasound, and they've just blessed us immensely for coming on Saturdays when the Lighthouse hadn't been open. But I know that's about to change,
yes.
So they'll be open on Saturdays now.
Yeah,
but
fabulous.
If people want to get a hold of it's Life Choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And the ultrasound will even come to you if you're in a crisis and you just can't, you have no transportation and you can't get to their facilities. They're out on the streets about 5 to 6 days a week, I believe.
Right.
So there's help out there, and you've been doing it for 35 years, and all those thousands of babies that have been saved, Joe Scott, we sure admire you. And
well, I wouldn't be able to do without you, Leslie. And thanks, folks, for listening. Don't forget the parade in Greeley, and keep praying for Saeed.
Amen.
Amen.